Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good, Michael.
We are going to talk about statins, and I'm very excited about this article. I thought it was a very interesting article. It raises this issue of unintended consequences, something in my life that we spend a lot of time talking about in global health, things when we do something for one purpose that is good and meaningful and perhaps evidence-based, but somewhere down the line it causes a consequence that we hadn't heard about, sort of a hit the mole on the head kind of thing, and it pops up somewhere else. The article that you've chosen comes from JAMA Internal Medicine, published 2014, volume 174, starts on page 1038. Now, listeners will know that we talk on poems about statins fairly often. Statins, perhaps the most commonly prescribed class of drugs, at least in the U.S., lots of drugs available for lowering LDL. There's some clear evidence that this benefits the more in tertiary prevention. The data is pretty good in secondary prevention. You know, it's a little less clear when we talk about primary prevention. But the article that you've picked out asks the question, when we prescribe statins, regardless of which statin we use, does it change our behavior? And particularly, does it change the way our patients eat? Mark, what did the study find?
Yeah, this was really interesting and a little different from the kind of study we normally do in poems. We do a lot of randomized trials and systematic reviews. These researchers used data from the U.S. National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES, and it's a surveillance study that's done every year. They go out and ask randomly or more or less randomly selected adults about their dietary habits, physical activity, health status indicators, risk factors, smoking, things like that. But a lot of dietary information. And they've been doing it the same way for many years. And that's one of the strengths, is they use the same format, the same questions, and so we can compare year to year. And these researchers looked at the period from 1999 to 2010, where statin use increased from about 7% to 16.5% among the patients who were in the survey. So that says something right there. We've more than doubled the percentage of patients taking statins. They looked initially at the beginning of this period, 1999 to 2000, the caloric intake was about 10% lower for statin users than non-users. And within 5 years, by 2004, 2005, the statin users had caught up and were increasing their caloric intake by about 10% over that 10-year period. Non-users of statins didn't change. So it's not like everyone was eating more. It was the people who started using a statin probably felt, hey, I can ditch the diet now. I hate that non-fat diet. And they were their caloric intake increased. They also had a significant increase in their fat intake by 15%, actually. And so the average BMI increased to a greater extent in statin users over those 10 years. It went up 1.3 kilograms per square meter versus 0.4 for non-users. So bottom line is, during the first decade of the 21st century, people in the U.S. who use statins increased their caloric intake by 10%, increased their fat intake by 14%, and during that same time, there was no difference seen in non-users of statins.
Interesting. You're perhaps making the assumption that you take the drug and you think, okay, I can go and eat calories and I can eat fatty foods and things. But what about an alternative hypothesis that somehow the medication itself drives to higher levels of hunger or, you know, drives you to desire fatty foods more?
I guess that's possible. I hadn't really thought of that, but sure, that would be possible. That would explain it. I'm not sure that there's any – I haven't heard patients say they just feel hungry all the time when they're taking statins. But, you always have to be careful when you're using cross-sectional data like this, even though it's over multiple years. You have to be cautious about drawing conclusions about causality. At the same time, it's hard to know – how else we'd study this. Perhaps I was actually looking and I didn't find any of the statin trials that reported body weight before and at the end of the trial 4 or 5 years later.
It is what you're talking about. It's an increase of about 10%, and mm-hmm. that may just be below the threshold level that they actually say, I'm feeling hungrier. Mm-hmm. So, perhaps if it was 50 or 60%, they'd go, God, I'm hungry all the time. But at 10%, it's just enough that they're eating mm-hmm. more, but they're not actually conscious of feeling hungry.
Well, you know, I think the whole question of unintended consequences that you raised, I think, is an interesting one. And, I've been thinking about this issue for a while of the consequences of widespread use of proton pump inhibitors for GERD. You know, the GERD we know is associated with tobacco use. It's associated with diet, it's associated with obesity, and not always. We certainly see our share of skinny GERD patients, but we know that that's an important risk factor. And so, instead of somebody trying to lose weight when they have GERD symptoms, instead of trying to another reason to quit smoking, they take the little purple pill, and perhaps that has a similar unintended consequence. I think that would be a really interesting study to do.
Very interesting. So I guess the take-home message from a clinician's perspective is that this is something that we should talk to patients about and just give them a heads up that perhaps they need to be cautious and continue to be vigilant about keeping their weight down and watching their diet.
Yep, sounds like a good plan.
Great. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
All right, look forward to it.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.